Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Abroad, there were some who admired the way this new Germany stood up for herself.
In America, we've had many reports against your new government, and in most cases, this has caused hasty demonstrations everywhere. I can now say to you that the American people today realize that these stories are untrue and without foundation. I find that there's a new, fresh vitality here in Germany under your great leader and Chancellor Adolf Hitler, of whom I'm a great admirer. The new Germany will live, for you have the best centralized government in the world today.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Everyone, you're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers, transmitting live from Western Montana, of course. You can join us in the chat room at onfrequencyradio.chattango.com. Kenneth, as usual, is in our control room down there as the board op. You're welcome to call in and keep him active, answering the phone lines, and he'll put you on the air. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. I wanted to start tonight's show off with kind of like a distant memory. It's kind of a break from what I normally do. Don't worry, though. The crime and corruption of the government hasn't gone away. The illegal wars, they're all still going to be here, and there'll be more news about that. And anyway, so I want to take you back to yesterday. However, first, just to prove this, I want you to see that nothing changes, and I'll have Kenneth play something here. It's like Merle Haggard would say, it's all in the movies. Go ahead, Ken.
Jack Lemmon is ex-President Kramer.
Yes. Sir, a message from the president.
Here we go. Thanks, Jim.
Jim's off today, sir. I'm Bruce.
Oh, sorry. You and Jim look very much alike.
Jim's black, sir.
Yeah, I know, but you're both tall.
James Garner is ex-President Douglas.
I can't believe I just did it with Matt Douglas.
My mother has a commemorative plate with your face on it.
Apparently, I'm dishwasher safe.
Dan Aykroyd is current President Haney.
Not so fast, Carl. Slow down. Well, I don't like people running faster than I do. It makes me look pokey.
Kramer and Douglas always ran against each other.
Let's talk about popularity. There was only one assassination attempt on me. You had three.
Two. The woman in Phoenix doesn't count. You only had a starter pistol.
Stop.
But now,
Mr. President, I'm afraid a situation's come up.
Here it is.
They've discovered a cover-up.
We've had that buried for years.
Of presidential proportions.
Somebody wants us dead. When they find out we're not, they're going to come looking for us.
And they're running together.
One, two.
God, that felt good.
We'll go public.
Without evidence,
the people will believe us.
Why?
Because we're presidents. Okay, they won't believe us.
Let's stop talking. We're about to bomb. It'll make me vomit.
Jack Lemmon.
I was Time Magazine's Man of the Year.
So was Hitler.
Not twice.
Shoot him!
James Garner.
Give me a sip.
Yeah, I'm about to share my coffee with the Washington Love Machine. You could spit in a Petri dish and start a whole new civilization.
Dan Aykroyd.
Vice President Matthews going to this thing?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's remind him that these people are from the Netherlands, not the Nether regions.
John Hurd as the Vice President. And Lauren Bacall.
It's a crock and we both know it.
It's a kick in the... Sorry, sweetheart.
Please, I'm a politician's wife. I have a set of my own.
In a story about life, liberty, and the pursuit of two presidents.
Over there!
Just blend in.
Just blend in. This is amazing.
Not really. We march these things all the time.
What are you doing here? Are you coming out?
No, I'm not coming out. He is.
Oh, my God, he squeezed my breast again.
My fellow Americans.
I'm hot.
There you go, guys. No, Art, that's an older movie there, and it's one of the funniest ones I've seen that James... Well, not one of the funniest, but James Garner and Jack Lemmon, my fellow Americans, and you can view it on YouTube, I think, for $1, something like that. But many years ago, I downloaded it. So anyway, I really like that show. He also has a couple there that the Ultimate Gift, which was on YouTube, which I believe was his last show, and it's kind of like hit home when you watch that. But it's more about life and spoiled kids and stuff like that today, and not wanting to work for anything. And of course, the favorite of his that I always liked was Notebook. And of course, we can go back to his westerns, and I could watch those all night long. Anyway, the phone lines are open if you do want to call in, 1-800-313-9443. You can chime in if you want, but I'm going to take you down memory lane here. And this is kind of personal for me, because back in the 70s, I had read a book that was at school, and later I would get another copy, and of course lost it to a fire. But I did have a hard time trying to find the book there, but I heard it might be reprinted. But anyway, it's on the theme line of something like Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. And of course, you know, Twain's writings are good. And I especially like Mark Twain because of the fact of his liking the loyalty and having and owning a dog. And of course, his political commentaries were also really interesting. But anyway, so the book tonight is called The Lion's Paw. And I'm not going to tell you all about it, but I'm just going to tell you the premise of this. And anyway, so Rob White had written a book there. It was post-World War II, and it was a basic sailing adventure down in the Deep South in what they call Old Florida. And, of course, this involved three orphans, and they kind of fought with each other a little bit, like that. But as you got into the book, you understood why there. But anyway, their goal, of course, was to escape this orphanage and this domineering uncle, and float on down the rivers and stuff to make to their freedom. Anyway, you can tell how cantankerous these three young kids would be. I forget the ages. I think it was between 9 and 15 or something like that. But their daily lives have changed. Of course, you know that they have to thwart for themselves to do whatever, fish, whatever like that, to sustain themselves as they float down these different river tributaries. And I kind of drew a line with this, saying that it kind of reminds me of how people today try to arrange their affairs and everything like that, and they constantly have to put up with the so-called drainages from maybe you call it the swamp or whatever like that from the government. And this will get into another story here later on here, but the fact is, though, is that so many people don't realize what we used to have in this country compared to now. And it's not just about the freedom. It's more like the associations and stuff. But anyway, we'll get into that later on. So anyway, well, you know, Twain, though, when he before I get into this, Twain had started that. He said that the mania for giving government power to meddle in the private affairs of cities or citizens is likely to cause endless trouble. And we have the different schools they put out there, whatever, their different creeds. Everyone's, you know, anxious to obtain this official recognition. And you'll see that with these politicians right now on Twitter. It's loaded up about buy my book. You know, it's the constant glorification. These books actually should probably be seized under some warrant and used as evidence that they're openly admitting to what they've been doing and everything like that. But we don't see the criminal courts and stuff as we should here. But anyway, as I said, Twain wasn't too heavy on government, neither am I. But one thing I want to others say here also, too, is before my actual story here is, you know, I can't help but think of all the wisdom that actually saved me so much trouble by listening to my mom. And, of course, this would go on to after I had left home and everything. But I remember then when I was still at home there, if we ever crossed her line, you know, that ever glaring evil eye that she would give us, or the words that would come, just wait until your father gets home. And, of course, I compare that today with today's kids there, because when you're out in the stores or anything like that, you'll see some ambunctious kid trying to pull off an item off the shelf like that, and the mother will reach into her purse and she'll grab an eye tablet out or something like that. And it's these constant distractions. And the summary of this whole thing is when I was told no, that was it. There was no bartering point past that with my folks like that. So I tried to do the best I could as I grew up. And with my three daughters, when I wanted to be firm, I would say no. And of course, you know, having daughters sometimes, it's hard to do there. But anyway, so when one has all this stuff happen to you after you go out and do things like that, I can only hear these songs like Elvis Presley's I Did It My Way. And a lot of people, they do that. They don't realize, you know, that they want their so-called freedoms nowadays, their liberal agendas, whatever, and they have to pay the fiddler at some point, and that the taxpayers and stuff aren't going to be there to pay it for them. But anyway, so self-control has always been one thing that I think most people don't realize needed. And of course, this goes along with what this book is saying here, how people have to discipline themselves to like a sailor. There are certain times that you got to move rigging and everything like that, or when you have to lift the motor up because you're going over a shallow area. But anyway, you learn these things and you get good at them. So anyway, back to my book here. So in the book, The Lion's Paw, that's these three young protagonists. They were at the center of the story. And of course, they all three lived and experienced the consequences of those decisions there. And it was written back in the 1940s again, but I read it back in the 1970s at school. And of course, as I mentioned later, I got another copy and we had a house fire and it burned and everything like that. But I had a hell of a time to locate it. But anyway, my kids read that, and I'm sure that they developed something out of it too, because they all three have wonderful families today, and I don't think I've failed in that respect, sir. So anyway, like the story is, it mostly takes place about the sailboat and these runaway orphans. And of course, it's the whole premise of this entire book here is this kid that keeps thinking his father's alive. And again, as I mentioned, I didn't remember before, but anyway, yeah, they were 9 to 15 year old kids. And again, running away from an orphanage would face real challenges. And I remember this fact there is because my father was an orphan back in Helena, back in the day of the 1930s. And he ran away. And of course, my dad made out pretty darn good there. And it's just like when I've watched these comedians and actors and stuff, football players, whatever like that. Everyone out there has a chance to go out and make something of themselves. And there's other ones that just sit there and they think everything should be handed to them. But I studied under some of the nicest chefs, and they were black. And I had no problem with that. And it just shows you that if you be what you want to be. And nowadays, it seems like as kids, they progress in through their schooling and such that they just get to a point where they just stop and nothing moves forward. But anyway, so on to this book again. The story goes down from the Atlantic coast and, you know, down into tropical Florida. And it goes, again, like I mentioned, through these rivers and canals and through this lake. I'm not sure how they pronounce that. It's Okeechobee. Anyway, I'm not from that area. I get down there in Mississippi to see my sister, and I can't even mention half the names on those signs down there. I'm in North Montana. But anyway, you can see the contention that might rise here with the one kid's dwell. And of course, as I mentioned, he's out to look for his father. And it's just like there's, when you watch TV today, it's constant remakes of other movies. There's no imagination and stuff. And I think that's like reading an old Louis L'Amour book or something like that, where it talks about a cowboy who's sitting there and he's backed up against a rock and he's peering out towards the distance there with his peripheral vision, you know, looking for anything off the sides. But you don't see the imagination anymore. It's all scripted into CGI and crap like that, you know, or like an old noir movie or something, you know, where at first you thought it was the butler or something like that. But they feed you everything nowadays, and if it isn't green screen somewhere, it's something like that. But you know, like a ski slope. They blow some dust onto a thing like that, make it look like a ski slope. No one's out there. No one, you know, very seldom do these people ever go on location. And I'll get into that, too, about all these actors and stuff, which kind of blow me away. But anyway, so their story, like I said, is on this little sailboat there. And they pull a little dinghy behind it, too, there. But it, like I said, it's like a legend or fairy tale. And the children, again, they were out to try to earn this better life. And one, at least, from that which they were running away with the repressive uncle and the threat of being put in an orphanage. But I could see probably, too, that the brother might be, you know, this is post-World War II and thinking maybe his brother's dead. Now he's saddled with the kids. That, you know, anyway, I always try to look at all the different things that might be going on. But anyway. But we've all felt that way at some point here, but we have to remain determined and courageous throughout our little quest in life. And that, I don't care if that means that you're out in the truth movement or you're out in the world or if you're in religion or anything like that. But I watch society falling apart more and more, and that's what is really disturbing there, because it's like when people complain about Washington, D.C. there. I can only think that those elected are there to represent we the people, and if so, if there's something wrong in Washington, it's wrong with the people there. And I've been quoted many times of saying, you know, that the swamp is here. It's not up in D.C. there, because the swamp here allows all that stuff to trickle up, pond scum, I guess you call it. But they elect those guys, and not only do they elect them, they keep them in office. And that's what's so surprising. If there's so much problem in this country, why don't people change the government? You know, but I guess they just don't want to. No, I haven't read that one. Interesting. I'll look for it. Anyway, thanks, Justin. Anyway, so, you know, this whole thing, I got a break coming up here in about 2 minutes, I think, here. But anyway, it reminds me of when I was working over in Oregon and how I actually wound up here in Montana. And I was actually working in Seattle. I was 20 years old. I was already in management, and they had asked a team of different managerial staff within these different restaurants that they would relocate down to Arizona, Oregon. And I was asked, and two of the other guys that was asked also were also friends of mine. And we knew each other from the different restaurants and stuff. And this is back when Vip's restaurant was around. And, of course, Denny's would later buy him out. But anyway, so we all get down there, and we have all this the problem with this restaurant that's going under, and they need to build it up both health standard-wise and also for the reputation-wise, because this is down there near the Pendleton Roundup. And they were losing customers faster and faster. Buses would come in and buses would leave, but there'd be no money transacted. Anyway, and the place, like I say, was a filthy mess. So we went down there to clean this up there. And lo and behold, out of 50 employees, we had to actually replace 50 employees. People get so complacent. They just go to work. They don't care about their job or anything like that. They're just in it for the tips or whatever like that. And that shows you this slowly moral decay that the country gets into, where I remember back in the 70s when I used to love go to work, you know, talk to people, all this stuff like it, you know. Same thing with ham radio. Get into ham radio, go out there and talk to people, talk around the world. Hey, what's it like in Russia or whatever like that, you know. But anyway, so I'm down there. We get the place going out, working finering. And then, of course, it got working so well that Vips then sold out to Denny's because it was one of the more profitable stores. And so this is about the time I turn 21, December, winter time, and I'm wondering where am I going to go, back to Vegas, back to Seattle like that. And that's about the same time that as his friend had bought me this drink there for my birthday. We're sitting there in the tavern there, and that Merle Haggard comes on with that "Turn Me Loose, Set Me Free" somewhere in the middle of Montana. And then that just threw a gleam in me. So anyway, so like the lion's paw, I kind of had to stretch out again like that, because it seems like everyone's always kind of running from something. It doesn't matter what, you know, that people got to keep looking or whatever. It's their quest, you know. Anyway, we'll be right back after this commercial break. You're still welcome to call in 1-800-313-9443, and we'll be right back. Anytime you go, anywhere you go.
talk is all you get. And you wanna...
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in beautiful Montana. Anyway, so I was just telling you here how I got to Montana here. So I get up here and I'm actually staying with Munkles at Munkles house. And through my years of carpentry and stuff that I took down in Las Vegas there, I was going to start building on. He just had an old 1912 building there and pantry, cold air, all stuff. Anyway, so I was going to help him build another bedroom and a new bath because he was still using the outhouse. This is back in 81. So, and still had the water hooked up, the old pump outside. We had to go out there and had a bucket sit in the house. Anyway, really rustic Montana, you know, but I didn't have any problem with it. Anyway, so I moved in there, and then right next there, about a year and a half later, one of these tribal officers moves in, and I had no problem with tribal officers or anything like that, but anyway, he and a bunch of his friends are down or outside there, and they're using this big old mallet thing to pound in these posts, and this area where I'm at is basically where two rivers kind of merge, and so it's old riverbed, so pounding through those rocks, it gets kind of obnoxious there. But anyway, he was putting in a split rail fence from the post yard that used to operate out here, which has since poisoned the water and the ground. And anyway, so I get tired of the noise. I go over here to the river which isn't too far from me, and I go fishing. And it hadn't more than 10 minutes elapsed by from my leaving my uncle's house until I got to the river, and maybe I just cast out or something like that, that here shows up this tribal game warden there, now in full uniform. And he has to walk darn near halfway out across the bridge, and this bridge is, oh, I don't know, it's probably at least, was anyway, was at least 800 foot or more long, made out of these big, huge timbers that were hewn out of the trees up here behind us here. But anyway, he proceeds to walk up to me there, and he then says, he says, do you know that you're on a county bridge? And I kind of shook my head, yeah. And then he says, but the minute your fishing line touches the water, you're on tribal ground. And I says, is that so? He says, yeah. So I reeled up my fishing line, and I says, well, then get off my bridge. Well, I didn't go over too well. But anyway, later, a couple years later, I would meet up with him again. I always buck authority when I can. So a bunch of the Indian boys and one of my cousins was up here at the same area just outside of town here where they hewed out those old timbers for the bridge here in the late 1800s or whatever like that. It was a beautiful bridge, but the ice finally took it out. But anyway, we were camping out at the sawdust pile. And, of course, as a gardener, I keep thinking I would love to go back up there and get this deturpentined sawdust and put it in my garden to help it out, you know. But anyway, we're up there and walk around the trees and junk like that. But in the meantime, kind of like a prerequisite to this, one of the young Indian boys had brought along his .22 long rifle, and it just sat in the back of my truck in my gun rack. But anyway, while we're up there dinking around the woods and stuff like that, looking for the morel mushrooms and stuff, it's a tribal thing around here, and I had no problem with that, and I used to do it myself. I could hear from my radio-trained ears a two-way off in the distance somewhere, you know, and I walked a little bit toward it, and then I got up on a little ridge there, and I looked down, and there is a tribal game warden. Wait, there's two more trucks. So I gathered up the boys here, and I says, hey, let's go on down there and see what these guys want. I says, because they're probably up here for something like that. So I get up my truck, and I'd probably driven a little bit out of bounds there like that, but I wouldn't worry about it. I had big four-wheel drive, and I could cross these hills in Montana with no problems. But anyway, get down there, and the first thing it's brought to my attention is that I have a .22 rifle in my truck. And I says, yeah, it's his. And I pointed at the one of the Indian kids there, and that didn't do it. Anyway, they were going to cite me with prima facie evidence of hunting. And this would move later down to downtown here. And the FBI and BIA was called in there because I was white and it's a reservation and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, through all this time like that, they finally realized that, yes, the rifle is his. It hadn't been discharged or anything like that. Wasn't up there illegally hunting or anything like that. But I was drawn to the back of this tribal permit that I had. And there's a clause on the back of it, and I'll tell you about what it says here right after the break here. So we'll be right back after the break. 1-800-313-9443.
Radio, anytime or anywhere you go. It's on talk radio. Double talk is all you get. And you
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877
928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
If you want to vent your frustrations, you got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to On Frequency here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Anyway, right for the break, I was talking about this rifle and this. It hadn't been discharged. Anyway, so we get to this permit, and yes, I had a permit. But I didn't know that on the very back of that thing that you sign on the front, but on the very back of it, there's a clause in there that says any weapon ordinarily used for the said purpose of hunting within the bounds of the Flathead Reservation, on the grounds, I put an asterisk behind that. So anyway, so within the Flathead Reservation there, that it is a prima facie charge of hunting. And of course, then I argued with the FBI and BIA, saying the fact that a lot of Montana drivers from Helena and stuff like that come back over through the reservation and they drive over through Thompson Falls up the Bull River and they hunt for the big elk and stuff, you know. And they started looking at that and they says, well, yeah. And I says, yeah, well, I said, but that would give you, or the tribal officers, the right to be able to stop any vehicle that had a gun in their rack. And they agreed. So anyway, any charge that they were pending was dropped on me, and they let me go. But they did pull my tribal permit for a full year. And then later on, the right before everything shut down, like at the FBI come over to me and says, hey, he says, if you want my advice, he says, don't ever buy a tribal permit. And then I says, well, why is that? He says, well, he says, there's no way you can have a jury of your peers if you're sitting in a tribal court. And he says, so just plead ignorance to the law. And I thought it was interesting from a law enforcement saying that, you know. But, again, I have no problem with the tribe here and like that. It's, you know, or the tribal members, as you say. You know, I question their government just as much as I question this government. Just like the other day when I was reading here that all of our roads here, where the gasoline is sold here in this area, the tax goes mainly to the tribe for that road tax. And I don't see tribal road crews out there, and we have some of the worst potholes around here, if you know what I mean. But anyway, so anyway, so like summarizing all this stuff together like that, you know, it's we have all the laws and stuff. Those people that are trying to buck the system, and there's others that are trying to live within the system. And, of course, I guess there's just people out there that like adventure. But, again, we're back to the same premise there, as like I mentioned earlier, that when my mom said no, she said no, and there was no bartering to it. So we have to know our limits. And, of course, this is we're at a time now in this country here and also in Europe where we see the governments are changing the laws about how we can speak, what videos you can put up, and you know, that to me that's a sign of just absolute desperation that they know the whole system's coming apart, as well as these I call them media blitzes, and I'll tell you about that here in just a second as I get right in the news here. But but you know, again with Huckleberry Finn and the Lion's Paw, I don't ever remember of any of these books that were recorded back then or printed that no one had to have permits to do anything. And today we're just inundated with permits. Anyway, so we all know the states, you know, the government's there to arbitrate between the states like that. But these states, they've created all their mundane laws, I call them. Just like the guy that's or the gal that's driving down the road and her cell phone either goes off or she needs to make a call. And so she politely pulls off the side of the road to transact whatever call she needs to do like that, but like a fool turns on the emergency flashers. Well, that's a beacon for law enforcement. You know, they instantly run up there. They don't just say, is there anything okay? They want to totally ID you, a check for warrants. I mean, just everything is so Stasi anymore. And I just can't believe that that this is what's going to come from that, you know. But we were talking in the chat room a second ago about how the courts and stuff work, you know, and that's just about how it is. They have to find something to charge you with, so they have a transaction somewhere to keep someone further in poverty or whatever like that. So, anyway, on to some news. Again, the phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. A video just came out on YouTube there explaining exactly that the minimum wage workers cannot afford housing anywhere in the United States, this new study has spoken about. And when you think of that, the massive debt that this country has, and this is going to wrap up the next story here too. So anyway, the massive debt, the trade tariffs, people will be laying off. We already see where a lot of these corporations are shedding thousands of jobs. And again, you have those who are trying to work in the anti-war movement or even say something about these wars. And you have those people like Wolf Blitzer that says, yeah, but what about the jobs in the arms industry? And, of course, I always feel bad about this because I'd hate to know that I'd put in an eight-hour day making some device that killed people, you know. Isn't like baking a cake or something, which actually sustains someone like that. But Trump's visit to North Korea or to meet with North Korea's Kim Jong-un there, It seems like it's productive, and we know that the alt-left here is really demonizing Trump because they don't want peace. And I've stated on here that Hillary Clinton said it's actual U.S. policy that there is no peace in Korea because that's how the U.S. sells their billions of dollars in arms to Japan and keeps Taiwan ramped up to the board and, of course, South Korea and other neighboring Asia pivot movements that they're trying to do there, as long as they keep this hype going about Korea. And or a threat of nuclear war that they can scare everyone to do whatever they want, you know. So lately, because of all this going on, I have been posting these old Kilroy images, you know, the thing that looked over the tank or over a wall or something like that. This was first recorded on the Marshall Islands, where they dropped the atomic bombs there and all the testing there, in which they used those people over there as guinea pigs. Again, that's also in the video there of The Coming War with China by John Pilger. But anyway, so along with this Kilroy image, you know, I don't know if anyone's really paying attention to what Europe is going on in Europe there, the massive military buildup. I'm not sure if it's going to be so the U.S. will try to take the eastern Donbass area away or what like that, but the buildup is something there. And so this here, within the last hour, came out here on Zero Hedge that the U.S. is to double the number of Marines in Norway to counter Russia. And to counter Russia what? Well, we know that Russia just dropped $50 billion of U.S. Trade stocks, whatever they want to call it. So, you know, this is just like these other countries that are bypassing the U.S. sanctions and starting to trade with other currencies. No different, though, we saw in Iraq with the starving children and Saddam getting oil for food through the euro. Libya's Gaddafi changing over to the gold dinar. Anyway, the whole U.S. economy, and all these economists say that it's coming down, the big bubbles, they can't sustain it like that. The end of QE's charging or moving the interest rate maybe four times this year. So we're definitely into a plight here. So where's my time at? All right, so I have another longer video here for you, but I want you guys to really pay attention to this because this is what's actually going on. And it's not just here or in these places mentioned, but Kenneth, you want to play that second video there, please?
I have 18 of your New Eastern Outlook review. In this review, Tony Cartellucci reveals extensive U.S. meddling in Malaysia's recent general elections. Martin Berger exposes the narco-terror state the U.S. and NATO created in Afghanistan. And Yuri Zinin discusses the impact of Washington backing out of the Iran deal. All the New Eastern Outlook articles we feature are linked to in the video description down below. Please visit journal-neo.org for more articles and analysis. Our first featured article is by Tony Cartellucci titled, Extensive U.S. Meddling in Malaysia's General Election Revealed. The U.S. has spent now nearly 2 years baselessly accusing Russia of meddling in American politics and U.S. elections. Despite the evidence so far amounting to only a handful of Facebook ads yet to be connected with the Russian government itself, the U.S. has attempted to punish Russia over the allegations. What's clear is that both U.S. politicians and the Western media understand that meddling in a foreign nation's political affairs is illegal, unethical, and undoubtedly undemocratic, considering their outrage and efforts aimed at Russia. So it should come as a surprise to find out that the U.S. itself is engaged in massive political meddling itself, including recently in Malaysia, where the opposition party, pro-opposition media, election monitors, and supposed human rights groups were all funded and supported by the U.S. government. Even the so-called 1MDB scandal, cited by political observers as having handed the recent elections to the pro-U.S. opposition, was first exposed and investigated by the U.S. Department of Justice itself and promoted heavily by the Wall Street Journal. Cartellucci notes how opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim has spent decades in the service of Western institutions, including the World Bank and the IMF. He also traveled to Washington on multiple occasions to participate in U.S. National Endowment for Democracy events. The NED also funds his political street front, Bursi. Cartellucci's article includes a list from the NED's website regarding U.S.-funded activities in Malaysia, encompassing virtually every aspect of Malaysia's political system. This includes funding for legal firms, media groups, and public polling. The article also reveals NED subsidiary, the National Democratic Institute, or NDI, which admittedly used U.S. government money to build up the reach and strength of Malaysia's opposition parties. The article notes that many more groups are funded by the U.S., but not listed on the NED's website. This includes prominent opposition online newspaper, Malaysia Kini, which, in addition to NED money, also is funded by George Soros's Open Society. The article concludes by pointing out U.S. attempts to install a client regime in Malaysia stems from its wider regional efforts to surround China with either obedient U.S. proxies or failed states in order to inhibit China's continued rise. Cartellucci notes that the NED is openly funded and directed by weapon manufacturers, oil companies, banks, and other notoriously unjust corporations and institutions, pointing out that they most certainly are not funding groups in Malaysia or anywhere else to, quote, promote freedom or spread democracy. Instead, they are imposing their interests and American hegemony on nations abroad merely under the tissue-thin guise of such principles. A more muscular example of U.S. hegemony in action is the ongoing and now nearly two-decade-long occupation of Afghanistan. In Martin Berger's article titled, "The Longer Washington Stays In, the More Drugs Fly Out of Afghanistan," we see how the U.S. and NATO have constructed a narco-terror state that enjoys absolute impunity from international law. Berger begins by noting the toll illicit narcotics are having on populations around the globe and the spike in opium-related narcotics in particular. 75% of opium production originates in Afghanistan, a Central Asian state occupied by the U.S. since 2001. The U.S. has justified its continued presence in Afghanistan by citing the need to fight terrorism and opium cultivation, yet both are flourishing more than ever. Berger proposes that the U.S. is intentionally encouraging and profiting from both terrorism and opium production in Afghanistan. We can see how Afghanistan has served as a safe haven for terrorists fleeing Russian air power and government forces in Syria. Afghanistan is one place Russian air power cannot yet reach, meaning that militant proxies can survive there until they're needed again elsewhere. Likewise, the article points out the immense profits Afghan opium production reap, providing funding for other illicit activities, including the arming and redeployment of militant organizations. Because of the U.S. occupation, other nations directly affected by Afghan-based terrorists and drug production have few options in rooting out the problem at its source. Berger notes that in addition to opium production, synthetic drugs are now being manufactured and distributed from Afghanistan, specifically because of the impunity criminals operating there now enjoy. The article concludes by stating only a serious and truly international effort can resolve the problems consuming Afghanistan, including expanding drug production and exports that are wreaking havoc around the globe. In Yuri Zinin's article titled "Trump's Decision to Turn His Back on the Iran Deal Left the Middle East in a State of Shock," we see another example of the U.S. turning its back on commitments to an international order it itself promotes and claims to underwrite. While we've talked about the Iran nuclear deal before and how the U.S. openly plotted to make and then break the deal before ever even signing it, Zinin's article takes a look at reactions to the U.S. decision across the Middle East. The article notes that, predictably, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates supported the U.S. decision to back out of the deal in favor of confrontation. Other Persian Gulf states have decided to remain neutral. Qatari state media Al Jazeera has questioned the decision and has suggested that the move is meant to line up the next manufactured threat in the form of Iran, meant to keep U.S. defense contractors well-funded. Middle Eastern commentators have also noted the serial acts of military aggression led by the U.S. across the region, and that these multitude of wars ground to a halt in Syria, where Damascus and its allies, Russia and Iran, confronted and stopped U.S. regime change. This, they presume, can also be a reason the U.S. has become increasingly confrontational with Iran. And while the U.S. appears to seek confrontation with Iran, few regional commentators believe the U.S. would risk a direct military confrontation. They believe that while the U.S. is capable of airstrikes within Iranian territory, airstrikes alone will make little difference. They believe economic sanctions will remain the primary weapon of choice for Washington in undermining and destabilizing Iran. The article concludes by noting that Middle Eastern commentators view Russia's latest role in the region as vital to security. Its continued role will be necessary in establishing new red lines and thus contain ongoing conflicts and prevent future catastrophes like the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. And that wraps things up for today's New Eastern Outlook Review.
All right, you got a break coming up here anyway. So, that's just a precursor, what you see. And now we hear that NATO is moving down into Colombia, always centered around drugs. And if people knew anything about the Indochina opium wars, this is how they're financing everything through the back doors of everything. It's as bad as someone dropping crates of guns off in the streets of Chicago in their alleys, or, you know, in their back streets there, you know, that they keep all these things going. And so how anyone could sit there and think of, when someone says make America great again like that, this is what it's all been about. It's just like a huge mafia. On top of that, I've been following a couple of stories on Twitter here about 17 million people to lose their coverage next year under Trump's new effort to end pre-existing conditions. And if I'm around next week, or this pain that I've been lately here makes me wonder here. But anyway, there's other key findings on this that are just filed in this amicus brief there. And, of course, that would mean that there's also going to be another 50% that's uninsured from this, according to this Urban Institute. So, anyway, we're right back after the break here. 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Anytime you go, anywhere you go, it's on Talk Radio. Double Talk is all you get.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. I have another story here for you. You know, like I say, people don't really research things, but if they did, they might get shocked here. But this story is about a tax-exempt women's organization. It's called, I believe they pronounce it Hadassah, H-A-D-A-S-S-A-H, Hadassah. Anyway, it made $137 million from a $40 million investment with this Jewish Ponzi scheme swindler Bernie Madoff. And to date, this Hadassah has only returned a small portion of the $97 million in profits to Madoff's victims there. But I was curious, what was this woman's organization, Hadassah? You know, so I went over there, and it says about us. I did a screenshot on it. It says, Hadassah is a woman Zionist organization of America. It is a volunteer organization that inspires passion for all and commitment to its partnership with the land and people of Israel. It enhances the health of the people worldwide through its support of medical care and research at the Hadassah Medical Organization in Jerusalem. Hadassah empowers its members and supporters, as well as youth in Israel and America, throughout the opportunities for personal growth, education, advocacy, and, of course, for the Jewish continuity. But this is what gets me, is how much corruption there is, and it just doesn't seem like it ever ends. And it's always tied to certain groups, too. And I hate to say that, but it's especially when you look at who controls the U.S. government. And if you hadn't heard over the weekend there, Mike Rivero, I kind of tweeted him a thing about it. But they had that big scrawl over there in Yemen, to where the Houthis had not only targeted one of the UAE ships, but it sank it. And this has caused some a massive uprising over there. And of course, we know that there was a massive airstrike after that, where quite a few people died. And the slaughter in Yemen goes on. And it's going unabated there, because if you listen to quotes from the UN, how the U.S. and U.K. has basically put a squash to ending any type of a ceasefire that might be over there, and the U.N. supports what the U.S. and U.K. are doing. But if you watch U.N. Human Rights on Twitter, they're telling about all the massive devastation, the disease, and probably for $19 a month or just 61 cents a day, you too could help end the poverty. You know. But this is the same scenario. It's a constant sucking noise, you know. But anyway, so my original report here earlier was that Norway was going to accept these troops, but and now they want to double the amount of troops there to contain Russia. But it was noted here that there is an old treaty that exists, and this foreign minister, this Aini Mari Eriksson, reiterated that the assurance in connection with new troop requests that are pending there, now they want to double it, contending that there would be no American bases on Norwegian soil. And all this military stuff is being moved up, Norway, Poland, all this, and this continued hype about Russian aggression. And it sounds good. Oh, Trump's going to meet with Putin. Much of the stuff that we're reading in the news today is just putting off what most of us know is going to be the inevitable there, to rescue its failing U.S. dollar system, just like the two previous world wars. There will be a third world war. But anyway, it talks about how cynical this is over there right now, that dodging the fact that, you know, that Putin knows exactly what's going on. And it's just like when you watch videos of where they talk about putting these THAAD missile systems in Poland to contain Iran at the time, and Putin just laughed. The guy's no fool, you know. And again, like I say, dropping U.S. currency, why bankroll those that are probably going to be attacking you here pretty soon anyway? But other news is Austria is demanding that Germany come clean on this alleged spying. Not too long ago, we had the U.S. spying on Germany. I mean, you're having allies and enemies, and they're all picking sides for the big one. That's my personal opinion. We'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443. Talk radio.
Republic Broadcast.